In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we are getting closer. We're getting closer to the celebration of the Lord's Nativity, to Holy Christmas. Next Sunday, I'll say we're getting closer yet more, but not quite there yet, because next Sunday is just Christmas Eve. It's not Christmas Day. Christmas Day is on Monday. I want to share with you something that I heard this past week, news that was brought to my attention about the repose of a couple in the Lord. It was a priest and his wife. The priest's name was Father Albion, and his wife was Matushka Helen. I want to share with you a little bit about the circumstances of their repose. Some of you may have known them. Probably Father Daniel Matushka Jr., you knew them. They reposed in Albany, New York, and it was last Sunday. And the news came to me through the church, but I also saw the news of their repose in secular newspapers, because there was something special that happened here. Father Albion and Matushka Helen were married for 6 decades. And there was an article actually in the Times Union from Albany, the newspaper there. And it said, priest and wife, partners for 6 decades, die within hours of each other. Often when people die within hours of each other, there's some kind of an accident, some kind of terrible thing that has befallen the two of them. But in this case, it wasn't that at all. Matushka Helen went in for an emergency surgery late in the week, and the surgery was not successful, and she was on her deathbed. Her husband, Father Albion, came as spouse, but also as priest, to minister to her in her final hours. Father Albion, he's 88, he had to have a ride, and on the way back to the senior living home that he stayed in with his wife, he had a stroke. And he was taken immediately back to that very same hospital, and he was given a bed right next to his wife. On Sunday morning, Matushka Helen reposed at 5 a.m., and Archpriest Albion reposed 3 hours later. And one of the things that Father Albion had said about his beloved wife is that he doesn't want to live his life without her. And it was almost like a prayer, in a sense, that was heard by God's ears, because he called them within, again, hours of each other's repose. And they had this wonderful partnership in their life. Husband and wife, priest and Matushka, for 6 decades. But we would be missing something if we didn't see the fullness of their partnership, which wasn't just between them, but it was between them and God. They had given their lives to God in service to Him, and given their lives in service to His people through the church. They had become partners with God, co-working with Him, co-laboring with Him, performing His works and fulfilling His mission. And perhaps this is why they had such a blessed repose, because they were partners not only with one another, but they were partners with God. You know, in the reading of the lives of the saints, we come across saints who were married and had this type of partnership. But we also come across some saints who were married and really had a pretty terrible partnership. Just yesterday, we had Saint Theophano, who was an empress. Share a little bit about her, because if we can be encouraged by the wonderful example of Father Albion and Matushka Helen, we can also be encouraged by those who struggled in their marriage. Saint Theophano, the empress, was the first wife of the Emperor Leo VI. He was called the Wise. He was called the wise because of his erudition, his studies. He was a man of some brilliance. But he was a man who lacked in basic morality. Emperor Leo, he was the son of Emperor Basil. And when he married his wife Theophano, his father put him and his wife in prison for 3 years because he was afraid that he would be assassinated by his own son. So he locked him away in prison together with his wife Theophano. Not a great start to your marriage, spend your honeymoon in prison. But that they did. And eventually they were free. The circumstances actually are quite interesting. There was a great banquet that was happening at court. And at the banquet, they have all types of entertainments and things like this, and they had a parrot there. And the parrot kept saying, "What about my lord Leo? What about my lord Leo?" And all the courtiers and the emperor thought, this is rather odd, and maybe more than odd. Maybe we need to do something about Leo, who's locked in prison. So they set him free with his wife, Theophano. They were released from prison. Remember, Leo was wise not because he trained his parrot to look after him, but he was wise because of his studies. And they came out, and eventually the emperor Basil died, and Leo became now the emperor, and Theophano the empress. Now, when Theophano came out of prison, she lived a life of dedication to God. She lived a life of service to her neighbor. Though she was empress and she had great wealth, she clothed herself with poor garments. She ministered to the poor. She was constantly in prayer, serving the church. And eventually she died. But not before her husband took a mistress. And after she died, her husband remarried. And then remarried again. In fact, her husband, Emperor Leo, became the last person in the Orthodox Church to be granted a fourth marriage. He was looking for an heir. And when he was granted his fourth marriage, he was severely penanced. And it was forbidden from that time forward, there would be no fourth marriages. Saint Theophano was not married to the ideal husband. In fact, you might say, probably the opposite of the ideal. And yet she found her salvation. Why? When her partner had failed her so much? Because her partnership was with God, the one who never fails. Remember, when Adam and Eve fell, Eve's desire was to be for her husband in the fallenness, instead of where should it have been? With God. Theophano's desire was with God. And actually, that's what we see today in our commemoration. The church puts before us the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers, whose desire, whose faith and hope was in God. In the coming of the Messiah, we see the icon here. All those generations. We sang last night in the hymn, "Come all who love the feast." And what feast is that referencing? The feast of the Incarnation. Christmas. The coming of the Messiah. "Come all who love the feast. Let us praise in psalms the assembly of the forefathers. Adam, our first father. Enoch, Noah, Melchizedek. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Those who came after the law. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Samuel, and David. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And with them the 12 prophets. Elias, Elisha, and all the rest, Zechariah and John the Baptist, all those who proclaim Christ, the life and the resurrection of the human race." All of these righteous men, women, and children in the Old Testament, they were looking for the coming of Christ. Their desire was for God. And they had a wonderful partnership with him. Yesterday, December 16th, was the feast of Saint Theophano, but it was also the feast of the prophet Haggai. He's not that well known, but he was from the 6th century BC. And it was upon return of the Jews from Babylonian captivity that he persuaded the people to build the second temple in Jerusalem. The first was destroyed by the Babylonians. When they came back, he said, let's build another one. And I'll tell you what, this temple will be more glorious because the Messiah will come to his people in this temple. What a great partnership the prophet Haggai had with God. He not only received the Spirit of God and spoke his word to the people, but he also got everybody else involved in that partnership to rebuild the temple, to make things ready for the coming of the Messiah. Another prophet that we especially think about during the Nativity fast and season is the prophet Isaiah from the 8th century BC, 200 years before prophet Haggai. He has that wonderful quote, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And she will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. For unto us a child is born, a son will be given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, the coming of the Messiah, the Chosen One. When we think about these holy forefathers, they're called the ancestors of the Lord according to the flesh. Think about how amazing that is just for a second here. They are the ones who precede God according to the flesh. The one who precedes everything as the creator of the universe. As the creator of mankind, Adam was called the Son of God. He was made by God. He was made by this Messiah. And right from that moment, we see a partnership. Adam and Eve were partners with God, walking with him in the garden. And then they fell away and broke that partnership. The Holy Forefather sought to restore that, working with God, responding to his call. Abraham left his land, left his property, left everything, went to a faraway land. The land that God promised to him. They had this partnership with God. And actually, it's given us today in the gospel reading, the parable of the great supper, the great feast, which is again pointing us towards the feast of the Nativity, the feast of Christmas, the feast of the coming of the Messiah. And how everybody was invited, but not everybody decided to show up. We know the excuses. One bought land, one bought oxen, and one had a wife. Property, stuff, work, and family. Excuses that plague our modern era as well. But think about this. How could this parable have been different? If those people who had made excuses had been like the forefathers, and they were partners with God, the one who had land could have said, Lord, that's wonderful that you have a feast. I just bought this new land. It's close to your palace. Whoever wants to come to the feast, they can stay over at my place. It's big enough for all your guests. Let them stay here. Here's my land. Use it, Lord. Those who had oxen, well, we can have beef. I'll bring it for the feast. Slaughter it. Feed the people. The one who married a wife. Well, my wife will come, of course. It's the great feast. It's the great supper. And not only will my wife come, but all the family who came for the wedding and the friends, they'll all come too. There could have been such a great partnership. But the Lord knew that not everyone would come. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the few chosen ones? Look around. We're the chosen ones. We're the one here, where we have the great feast, where we celebrate the Messiah, where we dine at the Lord's table. And he asks us, go out and get everybody. Assemble all of the people. Let them come for this feast too. And we have this great opportunity to be partners with God. To set aside those excuses that are so tempting. And to say all those things that would formerly hold me back when I'm about my own thing, I'm going to bring them with me into this partnership with God. I'm going to lay them at the Lord's disposal. My property, my resources, my family, we're going to enter into a partnership with God. That is what the Holy Forefathers did. That is what the saints of the church do. That is what we are called to do, to enter into this partnership with God. Well, but when you enter into a partnership, then you kind of, you lose half of what you got, right? I mean, if you own everything as a sole proprietor, and then you enter in a partnership with somebody, well, it's what, 50-50? So I'm losing out here. Well, really, the one who's losing out is God, who brings everything into the partnership. We bring really nothing. All the stuff we've got is actually stuff that He's given to us already. When we're partners with God, we win, and we win big. We don't lose. We heard in the epistle today about the coming of Christ. When Christ comes, we also shall appear with Him in glory. What a great promise that is to us, that we who become partners with Christ will share in His glory. This is what is open to us. This is what is offered to us. Many are called, few are chosen. Let us be the chosen ones. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.